Hi guys, it's me, Lindsay Pinchuk, host of Dear Found Her. Today, you're going to hear me and our guest, Christian Schroyer, founder of One Hope Wines, talk a lot about not knowing what you need to do when you get started with your business and the importance of asking for and taking help, including mentorship when you need it. Wait until you hear who One Hope got as their first mentor. This exact reason is why I created my own group mentorship, Marketing Made Simple for Small Business. As a female founder and a small business owner myself, having support over the years has been key to my success. Finding shortcuts and simple strategies for building your business equally as so. You'll find all of this and so much more in MMS. We launched in the fall and nearly 50 women are currently inside learning simple but effective marketing skills to take their business to the next level in our founding cohort. Our doors to our spring cohort just opened, but they will not be open for long. We're starting our monthly meetings on April 15th, and we'll be getting started with our weekly lessons and assignments the first week of May. The doors will close at the end of April. So join us to start building a simple marketing strategy designed to connect with your community, grow your brand, and your bottom line without $1 million marketing and advertising budget or 1 million followers. Marketing Made Simple for Small Business is a group mentorship program for women-owned businesses. I'm sure you have seen some of the women who have found their way to meet up across the country with one another. It is amazing. The relationships that are being formed in this group are really and truly one in a million. This is a program that combines small group strategy sessions, one-on-one Q&A and accelerator calls, community support, and a ton of digital resources designed to give you the step-by-step instructions and guidance that you need for brand growth. Until Monday, you can get 20% off with the code FOUNDHER. Keep in mind, the price has gone up and this code will expire. What I'm seeing take place inside this community is absolutely amazing, and I really hope to see you inside soon. Any questions, just shoot me a DM at Lindsay Pinchuk or an email, lindsay@lindsaypinchuk.com. I am more than happy to answer them. And now, on to today's show. Today's story is one of grit and determination, as well as how the right mentors can change the entire face of your business and quickly. Christian Schroyer is a social entrepreneur and disruptor in the wine industry with over 17 years of experience. In 2007, she co-founded One Hope at age 23, making her one of the youngest females in the country to start a wine company. In addition to giving back 10% of every purchase, One Hope created its own unique distribution platform, empowering anyone to join its mission to change the world with wine. Known for her ability to effectively build and foster partnerships, Kristen has been instrumental in the growth and success of the organization. Along with her partners, Kristen has helped grow the brand from 0 to 1.5 million bottles of wine sold a year, making it one of the top 250 wineries by volume in the United States. As Chief Impact Officer, under Kristen's guidance, One Hope has donated over $10 million to 40,000 nonprofits. She's skillfully combined business growth with a commitment to making a positive difference in the world, and I cannot wait for you to hear this story. Come on in and meet Christian Schroyer. Dear Found Her, I'm your host, Lindsay Pinchuk. At 30 years old, I founded my first company with just $500, building it to reach 3 million people and generate 7 figures in revenue for 6 years straight, all before I sold it. A decade later, I exited with one goal: to support other women in business through their own entrepreneurship journeys. As an entrepreneur, you wear every hat. You burn the midnight oil, and most of all, you pour your heart and soul into everything you do. But there's no blueprint for success. Every week on Dear Found Her, you'll get to sit in as I pick the brain of some of my closest female founder contacts. Save yourself time, money, and hassle listening to the lessons of those who have already done it. You'll also have the chance to hear about my own founder journey, how I built my first company, and now how I'm building my second, as I share solo episodes filled with actionable lessons and steps that you can apply to your business immediately. Make sure to subscribe now so that we can build our businesses together each and every week. Now, let's get into today's episode. Welcome back to another episode of Dear Found Her. I have an amazing founder with an amazing story here with us today, Kristen Schroyer, who is the co-founder of One Hope Wines, is here today to share this incredible story that I was literally on the edge of my seat when it was being shared with me because I didn't know the backstory of it until it was told to me. And I think that you guys are really in for a treat to hear kind of just how something came about from something so simple and how it has really exploded to be one of the biggest wineries in the country, essentially. So, Kristen, welcome to Dear Found Her.
Thank you so much for having me, Lindsay. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to hear this story from you. So I would love to just get right into it. And I would love for you to tell us the story behind One Hope.
Yeah. So I grew up in Arizona and went to U of A. And at U of A, at these college career fairs, they're so smart. They have, you know, table after table of companies, and Gala Wine was there. And so they have their table filled with wine bottles, which as a college student, when you're walking from table to table, you're like, ooh, that looks very intriguing. And they offered me to sell wine in Newport Beach, California after graduating. And for anyone that's been to University of Arizona, it's in Tucson. So yeah, Newport Beach, California sounds like this glorious, great place to move, especially being in Tucson for 4 years. And so that's where I started my career. And Gallo was it was an amazing experience, but it's a really unique job because you're starting right out of college at like 4 a.m. selling wine in grocery stores, essentially merchandising it too. So you sell in a mass display in a grocery store. You have to show up the next morning and build like a 300 case display of wine coolers, what have you. And it was at that job, because we had such odd hours, I met amazing people that were right out of college, just like me. And that was where I met my future One Hope co-founders. And so we didn't know that we were going to do this at the time, of course, but it was our first holiday selling wine in grocery stores, and they call the holidays OND in the wine industry. I'm sure they do that in a lot of other industries too. And it was that October, it was Breast Cancer Awareness Month, as we all know. And it was interesting selling wine in grocery stores because the whole store had so many products that were giving back to the cause. We noticed, because in order to get the liquor manager's attention, we had to help put, you know, the Yoplait yogurt to the shelf for them. And we had to help put the Campbell's soup to the shelf. And then maybe if by helping, you know, put their products to the shelf, they'd give us the time of day and let us pitch our wine brand that we wanted to build a display of. But we noticed all these brands that were giving back were, first of all, they were giving back, and then they were selling quite well. And there was nothing represented in the wine aisle. And then October went away, and business as usual back to the store. All these cause marketing campaigns ended, and we thought, well, how come these big brands are giving, you know, putting a cap on what they donate? How come they're only doing it for the month of October? It should be built into the DNA of what they do, and they're giving back every day throughout the year. And then us in the wine industry, we're like, why isn't there a wine brand that's doing this? Because wine really is such a special product. You give it as gifts, you share it with your loved ones at the holidays. And so that was where all the ideas kind of started to happen with us. And it was Jake Cloverdance, who's our CEO and founder. That was his initial idea. And he talked to us about it at, like any college kid right out of college, at the Yard House at happy hour at 4 o'clock when we would all get together. And what do most people do when they have a great idea? They don't do anything with it. And that was kind of the case for the first year, because we talked about it. How great would it be if we had a wine brand that gives back? And then we all went on to do we got promoted to different things within Gallo. I moved up to Napa and Sonoma and worked up there. And then I got a phone call from Jake, and he's like, hey, remember that company we always talked about starting? Well, I'm going to do it. I had a close friend that was diagnosed with blood cancer. She's our age. At this point, we're like 22, 23 years old. I'm going to do it. Are you in? And I thought about it. I talked to my parents about it. I mean, no kids, no mortgage. I think at that age of your life too, you're so blindly confident in such a great way. And we thought, like, how hard could it be to start our own wine company? And so there was 8 of us, and we all quit our jobs. I moved back down to Southern California, and we essentially launched One Hope out of the backs of our cars, selling wine out of the backs of our cars, which is illegal. We didn't know that until kind of going back to how there was so much about the industry that we didn't know. Literally selling wine out of the backs of our cars. We go to a nice steakhouse And, you know, if I somehow made the sale, I'd be like, okay, great. I'm going to go grab that for you. You can write me a check. And the restaurant manager's like, no, you need a licensed distributor. And no, I don't. You just write me a check. I'll bring you the wine. That's how it works. Right. So that's kind of the story of our founding, but it was, we wanted a wine brand that gave back 365 days of the year, no caps on what we donate. And then to be able to support multiple different causes too. And then it was really Jake's friend who was diagnosed with blood cancer that really inspired him to do it, which then gave us all the courage to do it too.
So when you guys first got started and you were selling wine out of the back of your cars, where did the wine come from? You know, I mean, you obviously didn't have this big vineyard, and I mean, and we'll get into where you guys are now and how amazing your facilities are, but where did you guys start?
It's interesting because I didn't know even these places existed, but there are these custom crush facilities. We found one in Sonoma County that we went up to, and you can kind of taste different wines that they have and maybe suggest that we want this one a little bolder or a little lighter. And we made our own labels. We thought they were so cool looking at the time, and looking back, not so cool. I mean, imagine Google image searching pink ribbon and then having it not be as high resolution as you need it to be and expanding it a little too much. But again, we thought it looked so cool. But we found this small little custom crush facility. And so we bought 168 cases from them. And since they were in Sonoma and we were selling out of the backs of our cars in Orange County, we literally drove it down in a U-Haul truck. Jake, our CEO, his parents took out a second mortgage on their home to be our first financiers, because 168 cases of wine costs a lot of money. And that's how we were able to buy that first amount. And then, like I said, just started selling it out of the backs of our cars. And when we first started with our give back, we had each varietal represent a different cause that we were giving back to. So we had our Chardonnay support the fight against breast cancer, our Merlot support the fight against AIDS, and then our Cabernet support children with autism. And that cause in particular was really interesting, because in 2007, a lot of people saw that puzzle piece ribbon and didn't know what it was. A lot of people didn't even know what autism was. So we were so proud to champion that back in 2007 and still do it today. But even in that first 10 years of One Hope, it was fascinating for me to see just how the awareness that grew about that and the support that grew for children and families with autism.
What was that turning point that made it official? Because, I mean, you talk about, you know, selling out of the backs of your cars, and obviously, and for those who are listening who don't know, you do need a licensed distributor to distribute alcohol anywhere in the United States. And I know, because a friend of mine owns a tequila company, that every state has different distributors. And so every state is kind of run on its own. So what was that like pivotal moment? I mean, there are eight of you who are taking the leap here, and Jake's parents are financing, you know, this venture for you guys, and you need to be making a living. So like, what was that moment?
I feel like there's been so many moments that we've had, and there's a lot of moments, and I'm sure, Lindsay, you know this, any entrepreneur knows this, where you feel like, is this it? And then it's not it. And you just got to keep on going. So we finally did get a distributor, and we thought that was it. Oh my gosh, we got a big distributor in California to sell our product. And this was right before the holiday. And so we got our November depletions back from them, how many cases they sold in November. And in all of California, they sold like 11 cases or something. And we realized, okay, a distributor isn't going to make it happen for us. We're going to have to do it and grow it ourselves. And so wine distribution, as you mentioned, is tricky. You have to go, some states, even like a four-tier distribution process. And a lot of distributors won't pick you up unless you have guaranteed accounts. And of course, accounts aren't going to pick you up unless you have a distributor. So we were just really living on airplanes, opening up distributors left and right, but trying to get accounts under our belt to like commit to buying us ahead of time. And when we first started, like I mentioned, we had, our wine was always pretty good. When we were working with that custom crush facility, the packaging was not so good. And it was really hard to get people to kind of take us seriously, right? These like young kids right out of college with a homemade label and everything. But what was a big, I think, a pivotal moment that really helped take us from zero to one, which is sometimes the hardest step to take, is my counterpart, Sarah Gora. She was at the San Francisco Food and Wine Festival pouring wine. There's table after table after table. And a gentleman came up to the table. I think most everybody in the room knew who he was. But again, we were 22, 23, pretty green and new to the industry. He he was sampling the wines. I think he could tell we could really use his help. And it was Michael Mondavi. And so that bringing the Mondavi family on really helped us because they introduced us to the right people. They helped us improve our product and the quality inside. And then we had Rob Mondavi Jr. Be our lead winemaker and have his signature on the back of the bottle. And so that really helped people take us seriously. The wine quality improved, and even just relationships with distributors really, really improved from there too.
Last week on Dear Founder, you heard me talk all about the importance of repurposing your content. It's imperative as a small business owner that you squeeze every little bit of juice out of every single piece of content that you create. Why? Because you're not necessarily a content creator. You're a small business owner and you want to focus on your business and your bottom line, not being on the content creation wheel. So you can go to the link in the show notes and grab my guide, 30 pieces of content in 2 hours. This guide will show you how to take one piece of content and make 30 different pieces out of it very quickly. It is so important that you have a process in place so that you can put out content that connects on a regular basis. I can't wait to see what it is that you produce. So before we get into your role as Chief Impact Officer, I'd like for you to tell us, where is One Hope now? I know you guys sell about 1.5 million bottles a year, correct?
Yep,
and
correct.
You give back 10% of every bottle. But yes. Where are you guys? Because I mean, obviously going from that table as, you know, 22, 23 year olds, you know, yes. Meeting Mondavi and like getting into that whole arena is You are in a much different place now.
We are. And we've really become leaders in the industry in the direct to consumer sales of wine. Because when we started this, you know, as I mentioned, we were growing distribution all over the country. And when we first started, we could legally ship wine to 4 states. And most other wineries were around the same, depending on your volume. But we were always adamant, we're going to have a website. We're always going to make sure that customers want to order our wine, we can ship it to their doorstep. And then as time went on, 2008, 2009, 2010, more and more states started to open up. Today, we can ship to, I believe it's around 45, 46 states direct to consumer. And so we've really become a leader in our industry in getting wine to people's doorsteps so fast. And because of that, we have so many people throughout the country that were like, oh my gosh, I love your product. I love that you give back. How can I fundraise for a cause that matters most to me? I love wine. Can I get involved? And so we really organically got into the direct sales industry too, because so many people wanted to join our mission of giving wine and give and share wine and give hope and give back. And so we've had now roughly over 10,000 what we call our cause entrepreneurs join our community, and they are distributors in their own local communities and share our wine and give hope and give back that way as well. And then, of course, as you mentioned, we have the winery. Sorry, go ahead, Redhead.
No, I was going to say, can you talk a little bit about that program? Because having brand ambassadors, which you guys obviously do, I mean, essentially that's what these people are. They're your brand ambassadors, is one of the greatest ways to market your business. And you have these people subscribed. They are not just subscribed to your product. They're subscribed to your cause. And they are using your product to really build their own missions out. And to give back to their own mission. So I would love for you to talk a little bit about how that works.
Absolutely. Yeah, because when we were growing distribution, I can't tell you how many times my my fellow, we call them our sipsters, my female co-founders, that we were the only women in the room in these distributor meetings. And every time I was on airplanes and tell people what I do, I work in the wine industry. Oh my gosh, you're so lucky. Tell me about that. That sounds like an amazing job. So we're like, how can we get everybody wants to learn about wine. People want, they love our product. They want to give back. How can we make this an opportunity for people, especially when we can ship it directly to people's doorsteps? We could build our own distributor essentially. And so none of the founders had ever had a parent that was in direct sales or like knew that much about it. We really just got organically into it, but it's amazing. I've learned so much about this industry and how there's so many people that are just not fulfilled at their current job, within their friends, their community. They're looking for ways to give back. They want to be around like-minded individuals. They want to learn about wine. So it's just been a really amazing, eye-opening experience for me. And the people that we have attracted to our mission of giving back, sharing wine and giving hope and giving back, it's just been, it's amazing. Anytime I'm having a bad day, I just go into our like internal community feed and hear about the stories of these, I say women, because it's 99% women. We do have several good men, but it's mostly women driven. And the, you know, why they join. Sometimes, many times it's because they love wine. They want to learn more about wine. We have so many that have been very personally affected by some causes that they're really championing and wanting to get to spread the word about it. Because what's interesting about wine is any charity event you go to, there's always wine being served. We think wine is such a powerful product because it just brings people together. And we've donated now over $10 million. We've supported over 40,000 nonprofits, but I know within those numbers, there's just so much awareness and conversations, and there's no way that we can track all the good that's kind of come from that. I mean, wine is just the vehicle that brings people together. It's just, it's all the good that comes from these events that our CEs are having. But yeah, it's, we love them. They become great friends, and they have helped grow our brand organically so much. And they share why it's so personally special to them.
So you just said the word that I love, which is organic. And yeah. I love that word, not in the sense of food, but in the sense of marketing, because I very much believe that you can build a brand without really spending money. And you've done that. You have done that through your community and through this brand ambassador program, but you've also done that through powerful partnerships. And, yes. You know, when you are mission driven and you hit the nail on the head with a powerful partnership, really and truly, that propels your growth. And your role at One Hope has been the chief impact officer, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I would love for you to touch upon, aside from, you know, the program with the brand ambassadors and whatnot, some of the other partnerships that have really helped to boost One Hope and to get you guys to this point where you have been able to donate $10 million and you have been able to become one of the top wineries in the country.
Absolutely. Yeah, through our giving platform, we've been introduced to so many incredible nonprofits. At the One Hope Foundation, we really want, our goal is to end the cycle of poverty. And we do that by focusing on giving to our giving pillars of health, hunger, water, and education. And so through partnerships like with Pencils of Promise, for example, where we've been able to allocate some of our donations to build now 5 schools in the developing world. And those partnerships are amazing because when you're in direct sales, is kind of like the game of telephone, right? Because you're communicating everything to your CEs, and then your CEs are then communicating it out to their own communities and stuff. And so sometimes it's really hard for them to feel the impact that they're making. But when you can show them a school picture before and after of what we've been able to do together, of what it used to be put together by palm leaves in a shack to a physical building and the smile on these children's faces. We did an amazing partnership with Give Power Foundation, where they're not only providing clean drinking water, but energy to the developing world. So I personally got to go to a very small remote village in Colombia and build an 8-panel solar unit. And man, turning on the light bulbs for the first time for a school of children at night. So in them seeing the lights turn on and a television turn on, it's just these incredible experiences. And it's all simply done by sharing wine and giving hope. So we love building these partnerships with these big nonprofits. But we also love through our giving platform is that we can support any nonprofit out there. And so I get this big spreadsheet every month of people that have hosted events or have purchased wine and the checks that are going out to these nonprofits. And I just like to sometimes just randomly kind of pull some and then go on their website and learn about it. And whether it's a couple that just rescues dogs and puts them in their backyard and like tries to find homes for them and bootstraps a small nonprofit themselves. I was just reading about one, I think it was called Friends of Jacqueline, where they pair sports teams at colleges and high schools with a child that's battling cancer. And this team like cheers them on and connects them. I mean, there's so much good out there. And I think we live in a world that there's the bad gets the bigger microphone. And man, it's like, there's just so much good. There's so many good people out there that are just trying to make a difference. And that the more support that you can give them and a vehicle in which they can do it, let's do it. So we're like, well, we've got wine, so we'll start there.
So I just want to reiterate, anyone can become an ambassador. Anyone can use the vehicle of One Hope Wine to raise money for any charity, theirs or another charity, correct?
Correct. Yeah. So whether you want to just buy wine on our website, onehopewine.com, you'll see right at the top, it says pick a charity to support. You type it in. It's just the database we get from the IRS, of all the nonprofits. So whether it's your kid's sports team, PTO, your local food bank, 10% of your purchase goes back to that nonprofit. We also have a hosting platform where if you want to host a fundraiser, and then we can connect you with the local, what we call our cause entrepreneurs to come in. And, you know, we want to bring that. We realize not everybody can get to Napa Valley. What a great thing that would be if you could go every month, but it's hard to get to and it's really expensive. So we want to bring Napa to people's homes and do like just a fun wine tasting, and 10% of everyone's sales goes back to that cause. Or then, like I said, if you want to do that and fundraise for causes in the local area, learn about wine, be part of our community, also earn commission on the wines that you sell, that is part of our cause entrepreneur program. And anybody can join. Anybody. We welcome it all.
So I'd love to talk a little bit about the fact that you have 7 co-founders, because I think that's a very unique situation. I don't think I've ever had a founder on here who has had more than one co-founder, more than 2 co-founders. So I'd love for you to, like, I want to shift gears a little bit, and I'd love for you to talk a little bit about how that was when you started. Like, how did you guys break up the different, you know, the different tasks that needed to get done? And then also, I would love for you to talk about, like, is everyone still involved in the business today, and how does it look today?
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. It was easier looking back, like, how did it just work out that way? I think we naturally had our own skills. The women were just like quick to be sales. I don't know what it was. We're like, we were just fast to do that. Jake, our CEO, he's like the best salesperson I know, but he was also so good at aligning the right investors to support us and partners along the way there. Tom, he's kind of like the dad of the group. He was only a couple years older than us at the time, but he's always been the one to make sure everything's compliant and everything too. So Jake always alluded it to making sure that sometimes is the hardest part, is to make sure everybody's in the right seat on the bus. And those seats have shifted along the way too. I think I did PR in the beginning. I didn't know what I was doing. That's just it. We really didn't know what we were doing for a lot of it, hence why we were selling wine on the backs of our cars, which was illegal. But we've learned so much as we've gone, and we've changed seats along the way for sure, because our skills have changed, our lives have changed, where we've moved, where we've gotten married, things like that. Today, there's still 4 active co-founders, very much a part of the business. Tiffany is our president, Jake is our CEO, and Tom is still our chief compliance officer. But our fellow co-founders, I mean, they're still our family, and we still all get together every Christmas and New Year's, and they're still very much a part of it. But yeah, there's still 4 of us that are still actively a part of the business today.
Hi, guys. It's Lindsay Pinchuk, host of Dear Found Her. As entrepreneurs, you wear so many hats, don't you? Sometimes it's hard to know how and when and who to hire for help. But I want to say, finding Hivecast to produce my podcast has been a godsend. They've been producing Dear Found Her since season 1, and honestly, I'm not sure what I'd do without them. Each week, I give them everything that they need to create the episodes that you hear, and not only do they produce and put out the episode, but they create all the awesome marketing materials that you see to promote it. They save me so much time, and honestly, their rates don't break the bank. What I love about them is that they make podcasting accessible to any small business owner who wants to create a podcast. I know that many of you have reached out to them already, but I just want to say, if you're thinking about a podcast of your own, reach out to the Hivecast team. I promise they will make it seamless from the start. You can find them through the link in the show notes. And now back to the episode. Where is the business going?
So we opened up our winery and tasting room in 2020. So that's been very exciting, but we've been around 17 years, and it feels like we're kind of just getting started, because all of our neighbors there in Napa are these third, fourth generation big wine families. And we're very much so the new kids on the block. So it's been less than 5 years since we opened our doors to our winery. And, you know, really less than 10 years before we started this opportunity as a cause entrepreneur. So we want to grow our portfolio, of course. We want more people to know about our winery in Napa Valley. But yeah, I feel like we're just continuing to grow our distribution, because I know there's 10,000 people that are part of our mission, but we just feel like we're getting started too. So we want to continue to grow. We are definitely on track to be the largest direct-to-consumer winery in the U.S., and we want to continue to grow that as well.
I just want to say, I've seen pictures of the facility, and if you are ever in Napa, you should absolutely go visit. It looks amazing. I was like floored when I saw the pictures. It looks just unreal and absolutely so beautiful. So, I mean, congratulations, to be honest. I mean, it's what you guys have built is really remarkable, because it is such a different business structure than really anyone I've ever talked to on this podcast. I mean, I think you're like my 200 something conversation, and I've never had a conversation with someone quite like this in terms of how many co-founders, you know, that it's mission driven. And that's how you grew the business. And so what you've built is amazing.
Thank you.
And you
so
guys
much.
Should all be so proud.
Thank you. Yeah, we always get goosebumps when we come onto that property. Cause like I said, when I worked for Gallo, I got promoted to work up there. And so I worked right across the street in my early 20s. And I never would have thought in my wildest dreams that there'd be a winery right across the street that one day we'd start and create there. And like Napa Valley is one of the most breathtaking places. Any time of year you go there, and every time you go, it looks different just because the vines look so different. But it was a tricky time to open up a winery. We joke because we launched One Hope in June 2007, right before the economy took a big tank in September 2007. We started building this winery amidst the worst fires in Napa Valley's history. Jake, our CEO, was literally hosing down the property with hopes that these, you know, flying embers just didn't catch it. And then we opened the doors to it in August 2020 amidst a pandemic. So, my hat's off to every entrepreneur the last 10 years, because it's certainly been a roller coaster, but we've made it work. And it's all just because of, I think, just people believing in our mission and our end goal, just to make the world a better place simply by sharing wine and giving hope.
You are in charge of the mission-driven business, part of the business. So what would be some tips that you would give to a company who wants to be a mission-driven business? And then also, I would like to ask you, what would be your advice to someone who simply wants to find a mission that aligns with their business? Does that make sense?
Makes sense. So that was going to be even going to your second question. My first suggestion is to make it very, very authentic to you in your story. Don't I wouldn't go out and say, I want to do this just because. Like, look internally and what has changed your life? Was it your teachers growing up that believed in you? And education is a big piece of it. I would just make it very authentic to your personal story and what you're trying to accomplish as a business. And then I'd say number two, be very transparent. When we first started off, it was, you know, a portion of our profits. And that was confusing to people, especially with three-tier distribution. It was like, wait, is it the restaurant's profits? Is it the distributor's profits? So now we've just really made it super transparent and easy with 10% of every purchase. We love that people can select their own cause, because as we started to grow, we first started off with those three wines, and then we added a Sauvignon Blanc for the environment, a Zinfandel for the troops. And then we were adding all these different wines, and we were supporting all these different causes on each wine. And it was really hard for our distributors to remember. And I think we were supporting so many different things that it just the message got lost. And so I would just be very transparent, very clean and crystal clear with what you're trying to communicate, so your customers really know that. And then, yeah, make it as authentic to you and your business as you possibly can.
And then my last question for you, Kristen, is what are three actionable tips that you would give to someone just starting out? And I know it's been 17 years since you guys were just starting out, but you have learned so much along the way. I could have you here all day, I'm sure, talking about entrepreneurship and how you've built this business. But What are three things that you would really tell someone to focus on when they're starting out now?
I would say definitely the people. Arm yourself with an amazing community around you. I think that's what made us so successful as founders, is we got really lucky that we genuinely, everybody had that right seat in the bus. Our families all supported us. Our partners, like, oh my gosh, who you marry is so important. I don't know what I would have done if my husband did not support me, especially as like we started having children and I'm like, bye, I'm going on an airplane to Oklahoma to open a distributor. And we've got two little babies at home. Like, I think just having that support system around you is so important. And sometimes that means cutting toxic people out of your life that don't believe in it. So I think that's super important. Being confident. Sometimes I wish I had the same confidence that I did that 22, 23 year old. I was so naive in kind of a good way, where I would march into these distributors and like ask them to sell 2,000 cases of our wine that month. And they're probably like, who is this girl? But I think they probably respected it and really appreciated it. So just be really confident. That's just believe in yourself. And again, that a lot of that comes from having that group around you, because we do live in such a toxic environment. Oh my gosh, like the comments that people make on social media and everything. It's so you have to be confident. You have to cut out that negative BS and then just really surround yourself with people that lift and empower you. And then kind of along that too is find a mentor along the way, because we did not know what we were doing. And we're so grateful to have partners like the Mandavis and even me just trying to find other working moms when I was struggling with kids and how do you do it, and finding people that can really give you some great advice and connect you with other people that could really, whether it be investors or distributors, I guess I'm summarizing and I'm blabbing, but just surround yourself with people that want to see you succeed is a big piece of it.
Kristen Schroyer, co-founder of One Hope Wines, thank you so much for being here and for sharing your story. And I feel like we are going to need to have like a part two or part three where we talk about the other aspects of the business, because there's so many things that are involved and that have gone into making you guys so successful. Congratulations and thank you so much again.
Thank you so much, Lindsay. I really appreciate your time.
So in case you didn't know, we close out every single episode with our number one takeaway from today's conversation. And my takeaway from Kristen today is to not only ask for help, but to find the right help, the right mentor when you're starting out to build your business. Having the right guidance in place can not only make or break your business, because you're learning from someone who's already done what you want to do, but they will have the right processes and tools in place, as well as the connections that you can benefit from too. Thank you so much to Kristen for joining us today. We have been getting so much love for season 3. You've all been so gracious with your time, leaving us some amazing reviews. If you liked today's conversation, I would love it if you left a 5-star rating and review so that others can find this episode. All you have to do is go to ratethispodcast.com/dearfoundher. Or click the link in the show notes to leave a review wherever it is that you podcast. And if you know someone who we should meet, send them our Meet a Founder link from our show notes. We'll introduce them to our community on our social media and our website later this year. But for now, thank you so much for listening and thank you for being here. Have a great rest of the week, and we will see you on Thursday.